Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards present Lady for Ransom, starring Geraldine Fitzgerald. Now to preside over our program, here's your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Some time ago, in a New England attic, a diary was found. It was over 100 years old. But the true story it had to tell is one of the strangest adventures ever to befall a woman. And our story tonight is based on the actual true facts related in that diary. You will not forget Jenny Bradley, who wrote that diary. You will not forget her, especially as she is portrayed for us tonight by one of Hollywood's most talented and exciting actresses, Geraldine Fitzgerald. Welcome back to our Hallmark show, Geraldine. We're glad to have you for a second visit.
I'm flattered to be here, Les.
Well, we're flattered that you liked us well enough to come back again.
And this time, you don't have to teach me that little card trick.
Card trick?
Yes, you know. The quick little trick that tells you it's a Hallmark card.
You mean you turn the card over and you look back on the back for those three little words, a Hallmark card?
Every time. It's getting to be a Hollywood habit, thanks to you.
And a good one, Geraldine. For those three little words, tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. And now let's go back to Boston Harbor. The year is 1818. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you on the Reader's Digest radio edition a story from real life, Lady for Ransom, starring Geraldine Fitzgerald.
The most difficult decision in my life. I've been afraid a long time. But now at last I know what I must do. Tonight I shall tell him. I shall wear my yellow silk and I shall dress my hair high and I shall tell him. A woman's place is beside her husband. Even at sea.
A man deserved his own ship, you do.
Thank you.
Let's have a drink to it.
Thanks, but I'm on my way home.
To break the news, huh? How's that up-country wife of yours going to take it?
I don't know.
She never did like the sea, did she? I've never even seen her down here at the dock.
Jenny didn't marry the sea, sir. She married me. I'm a bit late.
Oh, I'm so glad you're home.
Well, so am I.
You like my dress?
Right tip of the gallant.
Silas, I don't think you can tell me apart from those ships of yours.
Sure I can. You carry more rigging and less keel. Come here.
Oh, Silas. Oh, you're crushing me.
I never quite get over the fact you don't reach my shoulder.
Yes, I'm sorry about it now.
Sorry? Why should you be sorry now?
I won't be able to see the new captain's braid you'll be wearing.
Captain's? What did you say?
Let's not pretend. I know. I heard it at the market.
I wanted to tell you myself.
And you've been walking the dock all afternoon, wondering how to tell me.
How do you know?
And in your pocket, you have a bit of lace for me to soften the blow.
Yes, but...
You won't need it. I'm so proud of you.
Proud? Jenny, you might as well know the truth. It'll mean months at sea away from you. Longer than ever before.
I know. When I first heard it, I thought my heart would stop beating. But it didn't. Then I was glad. Oh, if I'd been one of your saltwater women with the sea born in my veins, I'd have known right away what to do. As it was, it took me all afternoon to realize...
You'll go to your family.
I could.
Or into the country where you won't be near the sea.
I've thought of that, too.
What else?
Only one other thing. The one thing a sea captain's wife would do.
What's that?
Silas, I'm going to sail on that brig with you.
Put the boxes under the bunk, ma'am, and the carpet bags here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anything else?
No. Wait a minute. You're only a boy.
I'm 15.
And you're going to sea?
Yes, ma'am.
Is this your first trip?
Yes, ma'am.
Mine, too.
That's what they told me, ma'am.
Oh. they know. Well, Joey, Africa's a long way off. Maybe we can help each other.
Jenny, you here already?
I knew you were busy, Silas. I found the cabin myself.
Wait up, that boy.
I see.
Jenny, we're not sailing into the late tide. There's still time to change your mind.
No, thank you, Silas.
Jenny, would you listen to me?
A woman's place is beside her husband.
But you're different, my darling.
You say that because you think I'm afraid.
I say that because you're small and delicate and you hate the sea. We'll be 4 months on this brig.
And I'll have salt pork and hardtack to eat and 33 men on board with me. You've told me a dozen times.
Isn't there anything that will make you change your mind?
Yes, there is. There's one thing. But that can't happen.
What is that?
I want to tell you with all your heart that you don't want me here.
On deck again.
Yes, Silas.
It's a miracle. You're leaning out against the rail with a wind in your hair.
I'm beginning to understand a little. It's terrifying, the sea. But it's beautiful.
You see the old lady at her best. 3 weeks fair weather and the best running I've ever logged. You brought us luck, my darling.
You mean that?
With all my heart.
I want to ask you something, Silas.
What?
About the ship. Yesterday I took the shirt I mended to Joe.
You're not to go near the crew's quarters.
No, I didn't. I gave it to a sailor. It was the way he took it that was so strange. The way he drew back. The way all seamen turn away when I pass.
You're the captain's lady.
No, it isn't that. Something else. Silas, they don't want me here, do they?
What difference does that make?
Then I was right. There is talk.
Just superstitious sea talk. If a man believed all that, he'd never weigh anchor.
What is the superstition, Silas?
Oh, I don't know. An old idea.
What is it?
The sailors say when an upcountry woman sails on a ship that's never carried a woman before,
It's bad luck.
Something of the sort.
Do you believe that, Silas?
Of course not.
Well, then, if you don't believe it, then you must tell the men it isn't so.
Why?
Because if the men turn against me, they'll turn against you.
I hardly think so, my sweet. I'm master of the ship. Well, Mr. Wiggins,
the wind's howling, sir, and the barometer's dropping.
Dropping, yeah?
Falling fast, too.
I don't like that.
No, sir. Maybe we're in for one of those Mediterranean squalls.
Those aren't squall clouds to the north. Something a lot bigger.
We're nearing the Algerian coast, sir.
That's what I'm thinking of. The storm is north. It'll drive us right up on the shore. Mr. Wiggins, do you know what happens to a ship's crew that falls into the hands of the desert tribes?
I know, sir, but it's my opinion we ought to hold our course.
We've got Mrs. Bradley aboard.
Yes, sir, but what else can you do?
Come about now and take away from the coast.
But that's north and right into it, sir. It's a hurricane.
We'll get the thrust of the ship.
You're risking it, sir.
I'll take a chance on that before I'll take a chance on the coast. Call the watch below. Bring the ship about.
Who is it?
It's me, Mrs. Bradley.
Joey, come in. Oh, you're dripping wet.
Yes, ma'am.
Where's the captain?
On deck.
Is it bad?
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to talk to you, ma'am.
What is it, Joey?
I oughtn't to be saying this. I oughtn't even to be here, but I just got to tell you.
Tell me what?
About the men.
What about the men?
Oh, they're talking wild.
Wild? What do you mean?
They're angry, ma'am. Awful angry. They say it's on your account.
What's on my account? Maybe you'd better tell me everything, Joey.
It's the course of the ship, ma'am. Captain Bradley's changed course northward.
Captain Bradley is master of the ship, Joey. He knows what's right.
But northward's the way of the storm, ma'am. Right into it.
You know why Captain Bradley ordered the ship north?
The men say it's because of the desert country to the south.
What about the desert country?
There are savage tribes. They take white people. And the men say because you're aboard the captain...
Because I'm aboard, the captain is risking his ship.
I only wanted to tell you, ma'am, in case the men said something.
Yes, you did right.
Where are you going, ma'am?
Go to your post, Joey.
You can't go up on deck.
That's just for us. Just for us.
Stand by the wheel, Mr. Wiggins. I'll get those devils to work.
All right, go easy, sir. They don't like this.
While I'm master of the ship, you'll steal the course I set.
Silas!
Jenny, what are you doing up here?
Silas, listen to me. You mustn't change the course.
What?
The men are right.
Jenny, go back to your cabin.
There's a chance you'd get to shore. If you go north, life, the sea has come first. Your ship has come first. If you take this ship into the storm, you're a traitor, Silas. A traitor to the sea and to the men who follow you and to everything you've ever believed in.
Captain Bradley, the fourth officer has gone out. She won't carry all that cannon.
What brought you aboard the ship, Jenny?
To share your life, Silas, but not to ruin it. You know I'm right. Your ship must come first.
Mr. Wiggins.
Aye, sir.
He's our upper point. We'll come about and keep south.
Silas.
Toward the coast, sir.
Toward the coast. You'd better go to your cabin, Jenny.
No, no. Let me stay, Silas. If we're together, I'm not afraid whatever happens.
Just a moment with the second act of tonight's story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting cards. But first, here's a message we know you will all be interested in.
This is Cy Harris. How are you tonight? You know, I really enjoy telling folks about Hallmark cards because they're such a help to friendliness. On all sorts of occasions, you can send messages that will be cherished. For Hallmark cards help you say those little friendly things that are sometimes so hard to put into words. They say just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. And you're always proud to send Hallmark cards because they're the kind folks really appreciate. Remember, you can be sure you're getting a Hallmark card if you just turn the card over and look on the back for those three little words that mean so much. A Hallmark card. Those three words tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. And now, once again, here's your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine.
Our program continues now with the second act of tonight's story, Lady for Ransom, starring Geraldine Fitzgerald.
When the storm came, the ship struggled for hours, but no ship could stand that storm. It broke up off the coast. We clung to the wreckage and got ashore. The desert men found us this morning. I do not know how many survivors there are. I do not know where Silas is. I can only pray. I shall keep this diary and my Bible tied under my clothes. They're coming for us now. Oh, Silas.
Each man take your prisoner. And their clothes, Benajat?
Whatever is with them.
What of the woman?
Mariette. The woman. We are rarely so fortunate.
She, very small catch, if you ask me.
We shall not draw lots for the woman. I shall see to her myself.
I won't move from the shore until you tell me where my husband is.
I know nothing of your husband.
Is he among the prisoners?
I do not know.
Oh, please, let me talk to the others. Only a moment. Just to know if he's alive.
We are ready to leave.
No. No, you can't take me without him.
You will go as you were told, or you will go in ropes.
I will go as you say.
Ferris, the camel.
I am to ride.
No, madam. I am to ride. You will walk.
For 3 days, we have been traveling steadily. My shoes are burned through. For food, they give me a handful of roasted beetles and a swallow of brackish water. I've hidden my brooch. The pin is strong and sharp. I have no other weapon. I am a prisoner in the village now. I have a tent to myself. The women spit at me and curse me. I have not seen the leader of the tribe since we arrived. If only there was some word of Silas. No one comes except to bring me the roasted beetles. Oh, Silas. Silas, I am so hungry.
You are awake late, madam.
How long have you been standing there?
I see you read your Bible by the light of stars.
I do not have to read it. It's comfort enough to hold it in my hand.
Well said, infidel. We usually do not permit our prisoners their possessions, but we want you to enjoy your stay.
In the name of humanity, can't you give me any word of my husband?
What makes you think he survived?
I saw him clinging to a spar before the water separated.
I think it is better you forget your husband.
What do you mean?
You shall not see him again.
What's happened to him?
That I do not know. I am only concerned with you. They tell me you do not eat.
I do not care to eat.
It will go better for you if you do.
Then give me decent food.
I like your spirit.
Don't come in here.
My dear lady, you are a Christian. A Christian woman is abhorrent to a true son of the prophet.
Why are you keeping me here?
Your country is rich and civilized. And a rich, civilized government has the absurd custom of paying a good price for a Christian woman. A Christian woman in good health.
Ransom.
If they meet my price.
If they don't.
If they don't, we have ways of disposing of useless prisoners. That is why I say it is better you eat.
Who is there? Who is there outside the tent?
It's me, Mrs. Bradley.
Joey. Oh, Joey. Come in quickly. How did you get here?
Sit down,
Joey. You're faint.
I'm all right. I must talk.
Tell me, Joey.
He's alive, Mrs. Bradley. The captain is alive.
Thank heaven. Thank heaven. Joey, you were sent in answer to my prayers.
I wasn't sent. They left me in the desert.
Left you?
And they said I was too small.
And you walked here?
I followed the camel trail. Mrs. Bradley, they took the others to the next village.
Are you sure about that, Joey?
Yes. They said the captain would bring a lot of money in a slave market.
Oh, heaven. Joey. Was he all right?
Yes. They had to tie him when they took him off without you. He broke the ropes twice.
But he's alive. That's all that matters. Joey, we have to get word to him.
Yes, ma'am.
We've got to tell him that I'm all right and that they're holding me for ransom. You see, that means there's hope.
I'll go.
No. You can hardly walk now. You're going to stay here under these rugs. I have another idea. One chance. Is that you, Faris?
Oh, the infidel woman.
I want to talk to you, here, in the darkness.
What do you want?
Do you know where the slave market is?
I know nothing.
But you're a camel driver. You could find it.
I know nothing.
Faris, you are soon to be married, are you not?
Yes.
And your bride is very beautiful, the prettiest girl in the village.
So they say.
You'd like to give her something fine, to make her even prettier. But you have nothing.
How do you know?
That's why you took my comb yesterday.
I didn't take it.
Faris, suppose I had a jewel.
You have a jewel?
I didn't say that. I said, if I had, and I gave it to you, she would be the proudest girl in the village.
Let me see it.
If I do, will you find the slave market and take a message to the white captain?
Let me see the jewel.
It's a brooch. See? Here.
Pearls.
And an amethyst. Lucky for a bride on her wedding day.
I will take the message.
And when you come back, you shall have the brooch.
Give it to me now.
If I do, will you leave now, tonight?
I will leave tonight.
That's a bargain. Here's the message and the brooch. If you do not keep your promise, the jewel will be a curse on your life.
I will keep my promise.
Go back now to your camels. Someone is coming.
$20,000, eh, Ben Ajak? My government could pay that much, but I would like to ask you some questions. Where did you find this woman?
She was cast ashore after the shipwreck.
She was the only survivor?
The only survivor.
Will you swear to that?
I swear, by the prophet.
I would like to talk to the prisoner.
Bring the infidel woman in.
You sent for me.
Mrs. Bradley, I am Major Peterson.
How do you do, Major Peterson?
It's all right now. We're paying the ransom.
You are?
Yes, you're coming with us immediately.
Coming with you? Where?
Why, home, of course. There's a frigate waiting off Algiers now.
But I don't wish to go home.
What?
No, it's very kind of you. I know you've made a long trip, but I don't want to go.
You prefer to stay here?
I have a place to live by myself. No one bothers me. I have food, work to do.
But Mrs. Bradley...
Oh, it's hard at first. My clothes are ragged, but I'm quite used to it now.
The woman lies. Mrs. Bradley, do you understand? The United States government is willing to pay $20,000 to get you safely out of here.
It's very kind, indeed.
Kind? What does she know that has closed the bargain?
Mrs. Bradley, I've come a long way in the belief you're being held an unwilling captive. If this is not true, I do not think the American government will pay $20,000 unnecessary dollars.
Take her, will you? Take her, give me the money and get her out.
I prefer to remain.
Then there is nothing more I can do for the lady, Sheikh.
I lose my money.
I'm afraid so.
But she is only a woman. Do you believe what she says? Why would she want to stay here?
That is what puzzles me. Tell me, Ben Ajat, are you sure that no one else survived that wreck?
Only the boy. I told you he could go with the woman.
And not another survivor from a ship of 33?
No.
Well, that settles it. My government has authorized me to pay you this $20,000, but under the circumstances, I shall have to report there was no one at all to ransom. Good day.
Wait. Wait a moment. Suppose, Major Peterson, suppose by some chance I found another survivor that I know nothing of now.
In that case, we could reopen negotiations. Couldn't we, Mrs. Bradley?
Yes, Major Peterson.
Is the $20,000 in gold?
Yes, gold.
I do not promise anything. I do not know. I shall be back at daybreak.
I shall be waiting, Ben Ajat.
That was very clever of you, Major Peterson. How did you guess?
You told me, Mrs. Bradley, when you refused to leave. That's the bravest thing I ever saw a woman do. Tell me, what makes you think there is any other survivor?
Think, Major Peterson. I know. My husband will be here at daybreak. Dear Diary, 3 days homeward bound. The sea is calm in the sunset. As Silas says, the old lady at her best. Silas is watching a jig off starboard now, a square rigger. That's the kind we'll be taking on our next trip out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Fitzgerald will be back in just a moment. But first, here is Cy Harris again.
It seems that almost everywhere I go these days, someone asks, is it too late to get one of this year's Hallmark date books? Now, of course, I can't tell how long your dealer's supply will last, but I do know that Hallmark dealers ordered tremendous supplies of date books to give their friends this year, but they've disappeared like snow in the sun. So all I can say is, I advise you to ask for your 1948 Hallmark date book tomorrow. I know you want to be thoughtful of your friends, and this book will help you. There's space beside each date to jot down birthdays and anniversaries, social engagements, whatever you want to remember. And there's a big section at the back for your Christmas card list. Yet this little book is small enough to slip into your purse so that you can carry it with you everywhere. Tomorrow, stop in at the store where you buy Hallmark cards and ask for your 1948 Hallmark date book. When you see how beautiful it is and how helpful, I think you'll find it hard to believe you obtained such a wonderful little date book free. A present from your friendly Hallmark dealer.
Thank you, Cy Harris. And now, once again, here is the star of tonight's show, Geraldine Fitzgerald. That was a magnificent performance, Geraldine.
Thank you, Les. It was a wonderful story. And now, can you give us some advance information about next week's show?
Yes, we have an unusual story for next week in which a lie detector plays an amazing part. And like tonight's story, it's true.
And who plays the leading role?
George Murphy.
Oh, then I'll certainly be in your audience next week. He's one of my favorites.
We hope all our friends will be with us again next week when the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present another true story from the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. A story called The Case of the Dormitory Thefts, starring George Murphy.
My love. In tonight's story, Geraldine Fitzgerald was supported by Sidney Smith in the role of Silas. Lady for Ransom was dramatized by Mark Rittleworth and was based on the true story entitled These Women Could Take It by Edward M. Barrows, as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Sloan, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look on the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Hallmark cards are sold only by selected quality stores, never sold from door to door. Remember Hallmark cards when you carry them out to send the very best.
And now this is your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine, saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time. See you then.